And let's pray. Gracious God, we come to you this morning and ask that you still our hearts and our minds and open our ears and our spirits so that we can hear your word for us today. In Christ we pray. Amen. So in preparing for this particular worship service this week, it was one of those when, I follow the lectionary, the Revised Common Lectionary. I look to see what the scripture passages are. There's usually five or six to choose from. And you start looking, and I read the Old Testament lesson. The Old Testament lesson was continuing the story of David, and this week's story of David was whenever Saul and Jonathan were killed, and David just laments all over the place. He is pouring out his heart in grief. The loss of Jonathan was something that was absolutely earth-shattering for David, and I thought, I don't want to preach that passage. And then the other alternate Old Testament passage was from Lamentations, and it's pretty uplifting, it's pretty joyful, but the reality is it comes from the book of Lamentations. And you can't fully preach the happy part of Lamentations if you don't go back and read the part that was right ahead of it, like the first part that is just absolutely sad and devastating and just heart-wrenching. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And the gospel lesson, as you'll hear the full story in a second, was about the woman who was healed. And I thought, well, that's got a little leg to it, right? And then the psalm of the day. The psalm today just kind of was that little oomph over the edge. And it's not listed in your bulletin, but I would like for you to listen as Lori and I read this together. This psalm number 30, that even in the midst of those very difficult passages can give us hope.
A psalm, a song at the dedication of the temple of David. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit.
Sing praises to the Lord, O you faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning.
As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you have established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face. I was dismayed.
To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, and so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks to you forever.
Amen. Our gospel lesson today comes from Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the lake. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came and said, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I touch his clothes, I'll be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Don't fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. And when they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. And he took her by the hand and said, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them not that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as you heard me talk about in the children's sermon this morning, there are definitely many, many sad stories in the Bible. Many stories about sadness and grief and forsakenness. The real emotions experienced by the preachers and prophets and kings and everyday people are just laid out for us to see. Their emotions are often raw, and we look at them and their lives and we can feel what they feel. We can feel sympathy for them and empathy, and we see their grief and suffering, and it's a burden on our own hearts. Our scriptures today run the gamut from Lamentations, when there was weeping and gnashing of teeth for a whole nation of unfaithful people. There is tears in the story of David about the death of a king and an intimate friend. There's a passage of the death of a child. There's grief over chronic disease that pushed one to the margins of her community. There is grief weighing down the scriptures and the lives of the people within them. And we can read these ancient passages, and ancient indeed they are, but they are still full of real people. We can read these ancient passages and understand, if not all situations, we can understand and identify with at least one. All of us know what it is to lose a loved one, to grieve over the state of a nation when friends become enemies. When death becomes real and conflicts rip apart those who have loved each other. Some of us struggle with chronic illness, with pain and suffering that limits how we live our lives. Others know what it is to be pushed to the margins of society, to fear getting too close to others because they would call us unclean, because they would judge us as not worthy to be included. And tragically, some of us know what it is to lose a child, a pain we would not wish on our worst enemy. We know what it is to grieve. We know what it is to worry for the spiritual state of God's children. We know what it is to pray for our nation and others around the world. We know what it is to pray for peace. These passages are ancient, but they are the true story of humanity. It is the story of the human condition and God's presence within it. We understand that our lives are filled with joy and grief, and God is there present in both. Even when we don't fully understand how that works, we are in this life, but we are not alone. God is with us, not observing from a faraway distance, but with us in our suffering, in the darkness, as well as in the light. One of the most assuring passages of Scripture in the whole of the Bible, I personally think, is the one we found in the Psalm when we read, "Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning." Recently, I was listening to a portion of the funeral for the pastor Clemente Pinckney, who was the pastor of Emmanuel AME Church, Mother Emmanuel, in Charleston, where almost a decade ago, he, along with 8 other congregants, were shot by white supremacists wanting to start a race war. It's about a 3.5-hour long funeral with multiple preachers getting up and speaking. It's a remarkable testament to the faith that these people had, that they still have and continue to try to live in the face of difficult circumstances. One of the bishops stood at the pulpit and declared, in the midst of the grief by all who knew and loved that pastor, he stood up and said to all of these people who knew what it's like to live amongst racist neighbors who sought to do them harm, he stood up and said to all of those who prayed for and worked for the kingdom of heaven on earth, who were feeling as if God had not shown up on that tragic day, his word for them was a word of hope, that healing does come, not through philosophies and ideologies or weak and watered down faith, but simply because Jesus Christ himself is alive, because Jesus rose from the dead. Hope is alive because while the grief and fear and anger they knew was so real, so was the hope that they knew in Jesus Christ. Weeping may linger in the night, he said, but joy comes in the morning, answered the congregation. Weeping may linger in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping may come in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Does this mean we ignore the pain and suffering in our lives? Does this mean we ignore the suffering in others' lives? No, absolutely not. Does this mean we are less than faithful when we experience spirit-crushing moments and cry out to God for rescue or explanation? No, it does not. Does this mean that when we feel forsaken and forgotten that we are? No. It means that through Christ Jesus, we find the strength and promise of the one who suffered on our behalf, who knows what it is to be betrayed and brokenhearted and physically destroyed and spiritually forsaken. who suffers with us, who walks with us, who holds us closely in this imperfect, painful, glorious, grief-filled, joy-filled life, none other than Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Grief may linger in the night, but joy comes in the morning. This is the God whom we serve. This is the God who is willing to hold his people in account for turning against their neighbors and trying to build an empire instead of providing for one another and putting their faith in God rather than earthly rulers, as they had done in Jeremiah's day when he wrote the book of Lamentations. We serve a God whose comfort for a young king would echo through the ages in poetry and song. We serve a God who would weep for his people, whose heart would break even when they turned their backs on God. We serve a God who would not forsake those people, but would bring them home from exile, would rebuild their lives, would rebuild their faith, would bring redemption and hope when they thought there was no more left to find. We serve a God who would stop to talk to a woman who was unclean, who was suffering and was not allowed to touch any man, especially not a holy man. We serve a God who would look at her, this woman who was not allowed to fully engage in her social community or her faith community, who could not attend worship. He would look at her not in anger, but in recognition of her faith. This is the God whom we serve. We so often want our God to rescue us from the painful parts of this life, but unfortunately, most of the time, it doesn't work that way. We're mortal, and our bodies don't hold up. There is evil and sin that causes such suffering and pain. We cannot deny our lives are sometimes tenuous, full of fear, difficult, and just plain sad. And while we do want God to take away our suffering and pain with a wave of a hand, instead, we have the God we've got, the God who is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. We have a God who accompanies us through the darkness, who offers transforming love, who brings comfort and wisdom and eternal purpose and meaning and even wholeness in our brokenness. In that those sermons I was listening to, those old sermons now of that moment in time that was so full of tragedy and shock whenever those deaths came to Mother Emmanuel. One of the pastors said that this young man came in to kill people in order to start a race war, but he came to the wrong place. He came to the wrong place because we, he said, are followers of Jesus Christ and we do not meet hate with hate. We meet hate with love, resilience, determination. Our hope is in the Lord, he said. Our Lord who lives. So we may weep in the night because our bodies feel the frailty of mortal life. But then morning comes and we recognize that even in our suffering, we may know an abundance of love and an opportunity to love more deeply and to understand the value of time, so we do not waste it. So we may weep in the night, but joy will come in the morning. As a congregation who has known grief, we hear these words, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. And we know these ancient words are still meant for us because we may weep in the night for our beloved sisters and brothers who have recently died, but we know joy comes in the morning. We may weep in the night because we don't see where God is. And then joy comes with the morning when our eyes are open and we see Jesus is with us, with our neighbors, in the love being shared and the compassion being given and received. We weep in the night, but then our joy comes in the morning. We may wonder where God is in the midst of our troubles, and then we recognize that God is with us, holding us close, spurring us on, strengthening our spirit, softening our hearts, building the body of Christ for the sake of love and acceptance. We may weep in the night, but joy comes in the morning. So however you need to hear it, wherever you are in the clock of the day, if you are in the darkest part of the night, or if you are feeling the noonday sun in your life, hear this and take it to heart. We may weep in the night, but joy comes in the morning. We may weep in the night, but joy comes in the morning. We may weep in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And for that we say hallelujah and amen.